Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Amen, amen, I say to you. Whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a marauder. But whoever enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate of the sheepfold. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the heart of the Easter season, Church gives us this week of the Good Shepherd, beginning with Good Shepherd Sunday. It's a time for us to ponder not the image of the Good Shepherd, but the reality of the Good Shepherd, how we're to respond to him as good sheep, and through that response, become capable of sharing in his shepherdly care of others. We can ponder five things that the shepherd does for us that we're supposed to respond to and become. First thing, it says, the Good Shepherd calls us. He calls us by name. It's unbelievable that he knows every single one of us by name. We're not a number, not just one more. Our vocation as Christians, our vocation as priests or sisters of life, it's all particular by the Lord. And what great confidence that he knows us. Second is that he leads and he guides us. Leads us into pasture. He's always trying to bring us to where we need to go. He's got that particular care that he doesn't just call us and leave us on our own, but that he's constantly, in a sense, summoning. Third thing that he does is he feeds us. Says in that beautiful Psalm 23 about the Good Shepherd, that with the Lord as our shepherd, we lack for nothing. We have it all. Guides us into verdant pastures. He fills our cup to overflowing. He even sets a banquet for us with something far more than the grass of the fields. But he's constantly feeding. He doesn't just feed us in a material way. He seeks to feed our souls. You know, in St. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9, it says that Jesus looked with compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so, it tells us, he began to teach them. He's constantly nourishing us with what our bodies need, what our souls need. Fourth, is he protects us. He's conscious that there are wolves, that there are thieves and marauders who are trying to take advantage of us. And Jesus is vigilant. You know, when you look at one of these Old Testament shepherds in Palestine, they still do the same thing. It's a full-time job. Constantly on the lookout for the animals that will come in to ravage the flock. Constantly on the lookout for the bandits. He would sleep with his staff right there, and the staff had a long series of nails at the end with a cord to be able to scare away both animals and others who would come to try to hurt the sheep. Jesus is constantly seeking to protect us in that way. And again, he does so by name. It was rare that you'd actually have a foal that would be hemmed in. And so on the rocky crags, which was that 35 by 17 mile sort of expanse in central Judea where all the shepherds were doing their work, it was quite easy for the sheep to just wander off and get lost, to go onto a little bit of a cliff area looking down into a deep valley. And the shepherd would be the one who would leave the 99 and come and protect every single one of us, risking his own life to be able to bring us to safety. That's who he is. And then ultimately, the culmination of all this work is that he lays down his life for the sheep. He gives his life for ours. You know, when I was growing up, I always thought how absurd it was that we would give our life for a pet. I mean, come on. Come on. We can love our little hamster, our parakeet, but to die for a parakeet? And yet, the distance between us and our cat is so much smaller than the distance between God and us. And if it would be something, if we would give our life for an animal, how much more is it that God would give his life for us? But that is in fact what he has done. It's who he is. He values our life, in a sense, even more than his own. So we should never wonder whether we're loved. He would do this again, 1,000 times as worse as the first time. And again, and again, and again. So what's a response to this? If the Lord himself is calling us by name, we're always saying, Adsum, here I am, Lord. We're hearing that voice. We're not following the voice of strangers. You know, I've found it interesting where Jesus says that we wouldn't even recognize the voice of strangers. One of the effects of the fall is that we need discernment, that we don't always hear God's call clearly enough. And so we need the guidance of others to make sure that we're properly attuned to the Good Shepherd's frequency. Because the devil, who can come as an angel of light, can also imitate voices. It's a pretty good impersonator. So we need that help to tune ourselves more and more to the Lord's own frequency. But he will never leave us without that ability to do it. He'll give us his grace. Second thing is, he leads us, he guides us, and our response needs to be docility. We need constantly to recognize that today he might be saying, get up from where you're comfortable and follow me here. That our faith is fundamentally dynamic, not static. And the Lord calls us to follow him each day because he knows he can't give it all to us at the beginning, that we can't handle it now, but that the Holy Spirit, whom he's going to send as our helper and guide, is going to continue that process, that pilgrimage, all the way until the time where there's great dynamism in a place which we won't leave, which is the Father's house. Third is, we need to receive that nourishment. We need to be grateful that every day he's given us our daily bread. To be grateful for the pastures and the overflowing cups that he gives us. To be grateful for the teaching we so much need. To nourish ourselves on it, to become a thirst for the living God who gives us these great gifts. We need to be grateful for the protection, the individual care, so much so that we don't want him leaving the 99 out of a desire for us to feel special, to prove that he loves us, by seeing whether he'll hunt us down. He will. We don't have to wander in order for him to care. Let's just live in his care. Fifth, to receive what he gave us by giving us his life. You know, at the end of the first section of today's reading, Jesus says a passage that I know was very dear to you. I came so that they might have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly. Jesus came not to give us bios, just that sort of physical life. He came to give us his own zoe, his own supernatural life. He came to give us himself. And the only way that he really could do that is by falling to the ground as a grain of wheat and dying. But he wants us to fully profit from that gift. And we will, as long as we continue to try to orient our entire life to the source of life that Christ gives us every single day on the altar. And it's through this life that the Lord changes us, so that we can go on that great pilgrimage from good sheep to good shepherds. So that just as he calls us, we can be the instrument by which he calls others. He calls them by name. You know, I have a little long-standing joke with this for life, because some of you, I think, are surprised that I know all of your names. You know, there's a story in that. I think I might have shared it with you when I learned it the first time through. And you're hard, but especially those of you with three names. But how could I relate to you as an image of the Good Shepherd unless I could call you by name and do something more than, I think, the condescending word sister, as if the particularity doesn't matter. It always matters. One of the things I love most about you is none of you are cookie cut. All of you are different. God seeks to bring out the beauty of each of your vocations, and we're to recognize that and similarly start to be able to relate to people by name, because it's in there that we can call for the Lord when we know what makes individual people tick. Second is the Lord calls us to guide others, to become true examples for his flock, so that others in seeing us might say what they said of the Corey of ours, that they saw Dir Danzunom, God in a man, God in a woman, to see something of the spark of the divine. Third, to recognize he's calling us to nourish the world. When the Good Shepherd's heart again at another occasion looked with compassion on the crowds, he wanted them to be fed. How can we find food for such a crowd, was asked. And then he said, why don't you give them some food yourself? He's going to put his own nourishment in our hands and in our hearts so that we can feed an infamished world. The more we do, the more we become like him. Fourth, to protect. To be able to leave others in order to be able to go after the lost ones. You know, Jesus says at the end of today's passage that I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. And he cares for every single one of them too. And he's their shepherd. We need constantly to be looking beyond those who are here toward those who are not here. That's the great call of Pope Francis. More than any other cry, he has said, we need to go to the peripheries of existence to bring back those whom the Lord has loved so much. And then the only way we're really going to be able to do this effectively is if we're already dead. It's if we're really willing to sacrifice it all out of love for God and for others. Because if we're not willing to die for others, we're closer to a mercenary than to a good shepherd. When the thieves would come, the good shepherd would risk his life to defend against those thieves who were trying to steal the flock. When the wolves would come, even as we see in the life of David, when the lion would come, the shepherd couldn't run away. The shepherd needed to defend. In your spiritual maternity, God will give you the grace to become mama bears against all those coming. But receive that gift That's really the gift of life. He may not ask that supreme sacrifice, but it's in the little things of every day by which we die to ourselves for others that the Lord is going to be able to do such enormous good. But we have to be willing freely to lay down our life as He has freely laid down His and waved us saying, come follow me here. Hear my voice calling you to this, feeding you for this, and protecting you precisely so that you can love in this way. Today the Good Shepherd calls us here. He's led us here. He's about to feed us here, strengthen us from within here, and make it possible for us to love like this and do this in His memory. We thank the Good Shepherd for never leaving us untended. And as He prepares to lead us, perhaps through dark valleys today with His rod and staff, we thank Him for never leaving our side, and we ask Him to continue to guide us and use us to guide others, to lead the world to the eternal verdant pastures where He seeks to give us eternal repose. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.